Good morning. It is Tuesday, April the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's dive in to our prayer of consecration today. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I get questions from time to time on lots of things, and one of them is, why do I start by saying, Jesus, I belong to you, and I end with, Jesus, we belong to you? And of course, that is the movement of the love of God. It comes to you and me. And then it moves from you to me and from me to you and from us to others. And that's a we. Jesus, even when he taught us to pray, he said, pray not my Father, but our Father. It has to come to us personally. But if it doesn't move to us or move us toward others, it's not the movement. We're doing something else. So we go from I to we, and we are together praying and hearing God's word and reflecting on it and singing. I hear you singing. This is what the church is. The church is a we. It's a divine we. So that's why we do it, in short. We're not trying to pray for someone else when we say we. We're just acknowledging that there is a we and that we are walking together. We're walking now in these 50 days of Easter. It's how the church has celebrated Easter for centuries. 7 weeks. We're going to go 40 days and we'll hit the ascension of Jesus Christ. He'll just go right up to the right hand of God, where he sits now enthroned in session. And then the 10 days leading up to Pentecost, that makes up the 50 days of Easter. This is a journey we are on together. So let's hear now the word of God. Our text, our entry today is entitled Love Cannot Be Taught. And our text is 1 John 2, verses 7 and 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old command that you have had from the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. John sounds a bit like Master Yoda today. Passing away, the darkness is. Already shining, the truth is now. I couldn't resist the Yoda. How can something be both new and old at the same time? Nothing stays new. In the season of spring, everything is new again, but it never stays that way. Early spring always reminds me of my favorite poem, Nothing Gold Can Stay, by Robert Frost. Here's how it opens. Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Can I keep going? As grief I don't have it written here. I'd memorized this poem a long time ago. As leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. As dawn turns into day, nothing gold can stay. I could only print that first little stanza because of copyright rules, but you get the special bonus today, the whole poem. Nothing gold can stay. The command John continues to drive home is not new. It's actually an old command. Even when Jesus told his disciples he was giving them a new command, John 13:34, it was still as old as Leviticus, C 19:18. In the old days, they wanted to interpret this text about loving one's neighbor as they love themselves in the sense of what is required to fulfill one's obligation to the law, or what was their duty. It's why the Pharisee pressed Jesus with the question, "Who is my neighbor?" That's Luke 10:29. You see, he wanted to know the boundaries or limits of this law concerning neighbor love. He was looking for an interpretation. Rather than giving an interpretation, Jesus told the now famous story about the Good Samaritan. Instead of opting for what is required, Jesus chose to emphasize what was possible. "Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you." When Jesus taught his disciples the meaning of love, he didn't render an interpretation. He became the interpretation. He washed their feet. This command to love others is an old commandment. But every time someone dares to obey it, things are made new. In organizations, relationships, communities, and even nations, the love of God revealed by Jesus Christ and now manifested in and through his people makes things new. Holy love means treating people extravagantly, according to their best interests, rather than handling them according to the calculus of our best interests. Jesus' death on the cross was clearly not in his best interest. He asked for the cup of suffering to pass him by, yet for the sake of love, he became, quote, obedient unto death, Philippians 2:8. As a result, the new creation broke in on the old broken one. Everything is being made new. The old is passing away. The new is breaking forth. Every time we love others as Jesus has loved us, even in the smallest of ways, the new creation is extended further. This, in effect, pushes the darkness back. As we will see tomorrow, this is what it means to, quote, walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1:7. Passing away, the darkness is already shining. The truth is now. Stay gold. The prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for making all things new. Thank you for making me new. Fill me with fresh faith to grasp this unshakable truth. Your love is making me new. I welcome the power of your holy love to make me the kind of person whose love makes others new. Yes, Lord, you can do this. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. journal prompts for today. Are your ways of loving others self-interested? Maybe I should say, how are my ways of loving others self-interested? What would love look like if you truly became self-giving and authentically interested in others? That's definitely a spectrum, right? How unself-interested can our love become? How unself-interested can our interest in others become? Giving no thought for ourselves. That's the way Jesus would transform us. Well, we're going to sing in a minute. We're going to sing a song I've never sung before, a hymn. It's called The Love of God. It's an old one. It's just not been familiar to me. I may have to stumble through it, but it's number 96 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. If you hadn't got the hymnal, I just urge you to order one today. We'll ship it. We'll rush it to you. But The Love of God, it just fits today. So we'll do our best in a minute. But, you know, unself-interested love, I'll just try to remember that story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus, you know, that's where the guy's trying to figure out, like, well, he's not trying to figure out who's my neighbor. Really, he's trying to figure out who's not my neighbor. where can I let this go, Jesus? That's very self-interested. And so Jesus, he doesn't really answer it. He tells a story and he talks about, you know, the man left for dead on the side of the road by robbers between Jericho and Jerusalem. And along comes a Levite. That's the kind of the associate pastor, the worship leader. And then along comes a priest. That's the senior pastor. And Jesus, oh, he's got to be infuriating them by telling them this story, because that's their exemplars, right? And of course, the Levite and the priest promptly not only walk past, they go across the street, so they don't even get near this left for dead robber, because they didn't want to become, quote, unclean. They're on their way to church for crying out loud. Anyway, then Jesus drops the bomb. Along comes a Samaritan, whom they all would have, like, just despised. They don't associate. And of course, so much we could say about this, but here's what I want to get at. The Samaritan saw him, first off. And secondly, if you'll read this text, you'll see an extravagant demonstration of unself-interested love. He went to him. Then he got off his horse. Then he, I'm going from memory here. He bandaged the man's wounds. He poured oil and wine on them. And then he put the man on his donkey, on his horse, which means he walked. And then he took him to an inn. And he said to the innkeeper, he says, here, this is my guest. You put him up here, you look after him, give him whatever he needs, and he can stay as long as he needs to stay. He says, I'm coming back through and I'll pay you for the whole thing. I mean, it's kind of like if the guy gets into the minibar, no big deal. I've got it covered. It's just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of giving to this perfect stranger from the person nobody expected and everybody despised. Jesus is like, that's the new command. Release, let go of your calculator, of your self-interest, and abandon yourself to me in the love of a stranger. Because, you know, and he'll later say in the judgment, as you have done it to the least of these, he says, that was me. That was me. This is what's so extraordinary about Jesus, about love, about God. And isn't that what God, I mean, here we were, the robbers left for dead on the side of the road, and along comes Jesus. He runs to us, bandages our wounds. He lifts us up, our sins with him on the cross. I mean, we could, wow. Behold, John's going to say later, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children, the sons and daughters of God. All right, let's try to sing this hymn. Number 96. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so pure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole who stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. I know I butchered it, okay? But I went for it, and I could hear some of you stumbling out there with me. Maybe you knew the song. I didn't know it. I know it now. It's powerful. Sometimes you just got to choose the one you don't know, the new old song, kind of like the new old command, because it fits. We'll come back to On Christ the Solid Rock another day. But guys, if Easter is anything, it's the invitation to begin to blow up our old confines, the old structures in our hearts, and just begin to fathom and grasp how high and how wide and how deep and how long is the love of Jesus. That's not just a refrigerator magnet, guys. That's the cosmic proportion of what God has done and is doing and will yet do by his son, Jesus. That's why we got to wake up, okay? As I often say, the greatest impediment to my own awakening is the fact that I'm pretty sure I'm already awake, okay? Let's leave it there today. Get your seeds. This love is burning to get out of you into this world of yours today. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.